Om Shanti. 11/9/2019, Wednesday. Essence from today's Sakar Murli. Sweet children, in order to claim an unlimited scholarship, practice remembering the one Father alone and no else. Sweet children, in order to claim an unlimited scholarship, practice remembering the one Father alone and no one else. There are two things here. Remembrance leading to scholarship, and that too unlimited scholarship. And remembering just one Father. In the world, in the school or the university life, this is an oft-quoted word, scholarship. And they talk of different types of scholarship. The first is the merit-based scholarship. Those who are exemplary students, they are given this scholarship. Depending upon their marks, upon their background and many other things. Other is need-based scholarship. This is something like grant, need-based scholarship. And there is something like student-based scholarship. Depending upon student, his background, his financial status. So particular group of student, they will all get this scholarship. And then career-based scholarship, depending upon what career you are taking, they will give scholarship with a bond at 3 years. The organization will teach and pay for everything. In return, for another 2 years, you will have to work in that institution. So then there is an athlete-based scholarship. In sports, for extraordinary skills in sports, everything is made free for that person. That will come in student-based.
Handicapped students.
Yeah, student-based. That is all student-based scholarship. So, there are different types of scholarship, as I said. So, in all the scholarship, everything, all the finance is made, sponsored by the institution, organization, or the panel, or the school, or the university, or the board. So Baba says, if you remember me alone, you will get unlimited scholarship. There the amount is fixed, here the amount is unlimited. That is only for few years, here it is for very long time. And what is the scholarship that Baba gives us? He gives us the scholarship of heaven. That is unlimited scholarship. And such an exemplary life. A life of happiness, of pleasure, of love, of bliss. So that itself is a scholarship of golden age. But here itself he gives a scholarship of confluence age, which we all know, all the divine virtues, all the powers, super sensuous bliss, purity. We can say that all of that is a scholarship. Happiness. There is a lack of happiness, scarcity of happiness in the world. There is not a single heart which is happy in the world. Every heart is burdened with pain, with sorrow, with suffering, with fear, with insecurity. To remain happy in this world is such a rare thing. Is it not? It's a very, very rare. If you just start counting people right now present on earth who are really happy, they will be counted only on numbers. on fingers. There's no happiness. In spite of the fact that people are attached to so many religious institutions, they do charity, bhakti and everything, but yet if you ask them, are they really happy? Ask them to keep their hand on their heart. Are they really happy? No. Happiness is not there. Forget the world. Ask this Brahmin family also. The entire Brahmin family. How many of the Brahmins are truly and really happy? That's why I said this is a very, very rare commodity. Happiness. They are having their own unhappiness. Brahmins are having their own list of unhappiness, their own list of sorrow. But that is not true for all Brahmins. They are there who are, the only Brahmins who are happy, I think, are those who are aware of time, who know what time it is, who are really doing intense effort, self-effort, who are really away from the limelight, who are incognito, and who are focused only on tapasya and their seva, and which they do it as selflessly as possible. Rest, who have gone too much into the expansion of service, are filled with desires. Service is such a good thing, but so many other things come in service, like jealousy, ego, blame, self-victimization, many other things. So, to be truly happy is really a great thing in this life. To wake up with happiness, to spend the day with happiness, to go to sleep with perfect happiness, with no complaint about anybody. No complaints about karmic accounts. No complaints about situations, about circumstances. No complaint about or guilt about anything, about things that have transpired in the past. Such souls are very rare. But they are there. Definitely, it is not that they are not there. As I said, they are rare. But they are there. And they are very hidden. You can't find them so easily. Probably, to live happily in life needs a very long experience or some higher understanding about accepting life situations. It's about understanding relationships, because today's world, relationships have become complex, very, very complex, intricate, and mistrust and misunderstanding. So, it's very tough. So, Baba says, unlimited scholarship. So, this is one of the scholarship, happiness. So, now the question is, what is remembrance? Remembrance, yad, or yoga. Baba says, remember only me, only one father. And if you remember one father, if you have this practice, then you can claim the unlimited scholarship. And when Baba says remembrance of just one father, if somebody asks, How do you define yoga? What you will use? Define yoga or define remembrance. There could be at least 10 definitions of yoga. The first is smriti, awareness. Yoga means remembrance of father means smriti, awareness. Baba says embodiment of yoga, a smriti, awareness, smriti swarup. So you are constantly having that thought about the beloved. For example, husband and wife, wife dies. Do you think husband forgets? No. Even if he might be in Gyan, but memories don't spare anybody. They chase you like anything. So remembrance, smriti. If those memories, just as I gave the example of husband and wife or the death of the beloveds, those memories chased, is it possible that the same stage comes here in spiritual life also, where the memories should chase you, where the memories should follow you? Then we can say that yes, it's something like automatic stage of smriti, automatic stage of remembrance. So first definition of yoga is, it's a stage of smriti, awareness, a persistent awareness, as if those memories are chasing you. Even if one tries not to remember, automatically those memories come. They are so strong, because B is remembering A, so memories would come to B. A is no more there. So all the things, the time spent together, the places visited together, the things shared, the circumstances, everything would come to be automatically. Is our remembrance such that we have things to share about Baba? We have things to narrate? We have things to tell others? Or those memories automatically come? Just as if suppose this is gifted to me by somebody. The moment I see this, I remember that person. This life is gifted by Baba. Do we remember Baba when we see and look at this life? This seva is given by Baba. Do we remember him? These things, the facilities which I have, or everything that I am using, do I remember him whilst seeing those things? So that natural stage, Baba says anything which is natural, that alone would remain continuous. Sahaj becomes nirantar. Otherwise, if it is not sahaj, if it is not natural, if it is not easy, it is not going to become continuous. It cannot become consistent. You can follow, for example, a particular diet regime, but if it is not natural, you cannot continue it for long. Somebody is doing pranayama, yogasana, but if it doesn't become natural, it will continue for some time and go away. It will be like fashion or fad that you followed for some time and then given up. So yoga means, remembrance means, first definition is smriti. The second definition is, it's a pilgrimage, yatra. Yoga is a pilgrimage, a travel, odyssey. This is the new definition. No book of yoga has ever mentioned that. It's a sort of journey. Baba often says yad and yatra. This is a journey. And in this is a beautiful journey where you walk and God is with you together. So it's walking together. It's a journey. The path of life is hard and tough. And we never know who will desert us at any time. We are walking, but somebody leaves us in the lurch and we are left stranded. Such a thing can happen anytime. But God is the only companion, only partner, only co-traveler, hamsafar, who will stay with you all the time and provide you with His divine company. So yoga means pilgrimage. Third, yoga means relationships, sambandh, all relationships with one father. Actually, the basis of remembrance is relationship. We usually don't remember those people with whom we have no contact, no touch, no connection, no relationships. Do we? Never. Hundreds of people we meet in train, while walking, during travel, interacting with hundreds and thousands of people, but we don't remember any one of them. But yes, if somebody comes and makes friendship with us, then we start remembering that friend. For remembrance, a very strong relationship is needed. So if Baba says, just remember me alone, means we should have a very strong bond with him, very strong relationship with him. Then only it's possible to remember him. Otherwise, it's very tough, very difficult. So what is my inner connection with him or bond with him? That's quite important. Then, yoga means milan, meeting with God. That perennial sense of union, or that stage of being combined with him, or that stage of having that divine bond and meeting with God, that itself is yoga. So meeting is yoga. Yoga word itself means to join, to yoke. Yoga has come from the word yoke. Yoke is to join, to meet, to combine. Then yoga means lost in love. Lagan me magan. That's the definition of yoga, where one is so much lost in the love of the beloved, there is no awareness of body and there is no awareness of the world. One is totally lost. Even if somebody goes from there, hardly notice, because the eyes are open, but the mind is somewhere else. And it's not the eyes, it's the mind that sees. So lost in love is the stage of yoga. Then self-realization and God-realization, or you can say soul consciousness and God consciousness. That is the definition of yoga. When you are soul consciousness, that also is a yoga. Just as when you are body conscious, you automatically remember all the relationships of body. When you are body consciousness, you remember, I have hunger, I am thirsty, and so on. In the similar manner, when you are soul conscious, you don't have to remember father also. The journey is automatic. The moment you are soul conscious, automatically you remember home. Automatically you remember who is the father of soul. You are not making any effort. So the first thing is just soul consciousness. That's it. Forget father. Automatically soul will remember everything that is linked with soul. So, yoga means soul consciousness, or soul realization, or God realization, self-realization and God realization. Then yoga means, remembrance of father means attention. To stay in that alert, attentive stage is yoga, all the time. The attention should become so intense that even when one is asleep, one is still attentive. That is the highest stage of yoga, of remembrance. And then yoga means concentration, Yoga means it's a stage of concentration. Meditation means concentration, but concentration doesn't mean meditation. Concentration alone is not meditation. People are there in the world who can concentrate on anything. They can concentrate on this pen and they can bend it. They can do such miracles of concentration. But that doesn't mean that they are yogis. But yes, a yogi's mind is concentrated and focused. If yogi has got 10 qualities, one of them is concentration. If yoga has got these many definitions, one of the definitions is concentration. But concentration alone is not yoga. Concentration alone is not meditation. But yes, meditation is concentration, a stage of concentration. And then, ninth definition of yoga is samarpan, surrender. Total surrender. You just surrender to the higher power. That's yoga. And last, yoga means energy transference. The energy from higher is going to lower. From higher power, it's getting transferred to lower power. So it's an exchange of energy. It's a transfer of energy. This energy transference is called yoga. So Baba says, just remember me. So that should include all of these things. First, awareness. When we are remembering him, we remember him with full awareness. When we remember him, it's sort of going on a journey, yatra, pilgrimage. When we remember him, we are in fact having all relationships with him, having divine meeting with him. When we are remembering him, we are experiencing that stage of getting lost in his love. When we are remembering him, we are soul conscious, we are God conscious, attentive, concentrated, a stage of total surrender. And the result is, soul is getting empowered by the energy that's flowing from above. So, if you want unlimited scholarships, remember one father to the exclusion of everyone. And there's another word here, and no one else. No. If you apply all of these, if all of these 10 things are very strongly linked with human beings, we will remember human beings. If we have very strong connection or relationship with some humankind, we will keep on remembering that person. If there's a strong love for somebody, we'll keep remembering that person. If our memories are filled with those things of the past, then we will not be able to remember Father. We will remember only that one person. If we are surrendering in front of a human being, naturally that person would be there somewhere in our hearts and minds. If you are making exchange of some things with the people of the world, if it is money, things, objects, or anything, you will remember that person. So your interaction should be as neutral as possible. Otherwise, all of these things would get started with human beings. And automatically then you will say, why I am not remembering Father? Because you have established such a strong relationship with humankind. That could be a pet animal. If that animal is missing or sick, the person is restless. There was one brother who called up a few days back and he asked, I have a pet dog. And whenever I sit in remembrance of Baba, I always remember my dog. What should I do? And I love my dog too much. What to do? That's the question. If you are attached to any person or animal, even inanimate object, like there are a lot of studies done on children who sleep with teddy bear. So they are linked and strongly attached to teddy bears. And it is found that if something happens to the teddy bear or teddy bear is missing, children are restless. The child is upset. Because for him, it is not a toy. It's a person. It's a human being. Because parents don't have time. So he has made friendship with that teddy bear. Or it is found that children are attached to mates. Children get attached to mates. Parents are not there. Maid is looking after all the time. So they miss. If the maid is gone, they will miss that maid too much. They will not miss their mothers, but they will miss that maid. And it has got some negative point also. There are certain women who go as maid and they make that their children getting attached to her, and then they demand higher salaries later on. Otherwise I am leaving. That's also seen. So, remembrance, we get attached, wherever we are attached, we start remembering that thing. Anything can become an attachment and cause of bondage. Anything. It can be just this pen. I am attached to this pen. The moment this pen is missing, I am restless. I am not attached to this pen, it's okay. Then if this pen goes away, I have no sorrow. I have no regrets about it. So attachment could be anything. And wherever we are attached, we start remembering that person, thing, object, place, time, even time, that past, anything. So, just remember one father and then you get unlimited scholarship. Om Shanti.